Why I love me. Anyone can look at me and can tell, of course.
Of course.
Why I love me. Instant inspiration. This is Dr. Harrell Barley, Dean of the University of Healing in Campbell, California. Paradise on Earth. Why I love me. Well, I don't have to have a daisy to pluck the petals from the daisy and say, I love me not, she loves me not. Because it would always end up, she loves me, she loves me, she loves me, she loves me, I love me, I love me, I love. I don't take chances with coming up with an alternate that I don't believe in. In fact, I don't even say an alternate I don't believe in. Why do I love me? Well, basically, I love me because I know who I am. And I am something very special. Something more special than anybody else in the entire universe. I am God. And I am all of God. So there's nothing left for any of the rest of you. There is nothing left for the rest of you to be God because I'm all of God. I am the totality of God.
I am too.
Nosy. All right. Now, why do I like me? Because I'm all of God. Now, can I say I am all of God? Mm-hmm. And be careful. You see, the moment you say you are too, you are sticking your nose in where it doesn't belong. The moment you're thinking, yeah, sure, Herb, you're all of God, then what are we? Well, I am all of God. I am all of the goodness of God, the joy of God, the abundance of God, the wholeness of God. I'm all of the allness of God. There is not one little ounce, one speck of God that's anywhere else other than me. Because I also have something else. I am number one. There is none beside me. There is none on this entire earth beside me. I am the creator of this earth. I am the... Oh boy, Herb, those are big positive statements. They're big words. While it's true, they are true, what becomes of us? Where are we in this picture of things? Well, this is where you are in the picture of things. God is a being, and he can only have so many sons and daughters, and he can only have so much sperm that he's spreading around. And I don't know who he's spreading it around with to get us, but that's all. Isn't that right? No, God is consciousness. God is consciousness which has no form, which has no substance, which has a substance which is allness. Now, as allness, whoever says, I am God, is God. Whoever says, I am number one, is number one. Whoever says, I am the allness, is the allness. Now, if you idiots are so shy and so backward that you can't say you're God, too bad. You're missing a lot of fun. Because when you say you're God, there's nothing else to be done. You just have a lot of fun. You just go out there and you don't create. You bring from the infinite storehouse, which is you, all things like other people. People who are like yourself and people who aren't like yourself. Sometimes it's just fun to play with people who are not like yourself. Race, color, creed, religion, whatever. It doesn't matter because it's kind of fun. Like if you play chess and you play with someone who's your equal, well, it's no real big game. When you play with someone who's really tough, who really knows chess very well, then you're challenged to use all of your awareness and all of your genius to play the game. Now, if you're God, and if you're the allness, and if you are number one, there's no one can beat you. Not even someone else who says they're number one. Why? Because there can only be one winner, always. Except that's not true. Everybody is a winner. But let's just say there's only one winner. Will the real God please stand up?
Still.
Where's the love and the button? Oh,
they're laying there.
Will the real God please sit down? Okay, now you all stood and you all sat. Now, why do I love me? Because I'm the real God. Now, when I look at you, what do I see? Do I see a poor reflection of myself? Or do I see a pure reflection of myself? Are you exactly like I am in consciousness?
Yes.
Are you exactly the allness of the universe? Are you exactly the totality of how we think of God? Are you exactly everything that God is right now? And are you aware of it? You can be. But are you aware of it? It's up to you. You are exactly the allness of God because you are my reflection. Now, if you're my reflection and you're the allness of God and I am the allness of God, how can there be two of us which are the allness of God? Because the allness of God, once again, is not a person, place, or thing. It is a concept. The allness of God is a concept, and it is intangible, immutable, unchangeable. It is the allness. So say that for yourself, that you're the allness.
I am the allness.
And live as the allness. And when you live as the allness, what happens? There is none beside you. There is none other than that which you are. Now, what are you?
God.
The allness. Yeah, you're, whatever I've been talking about just before I ask you the question, that should be the answer. Now, I am God. Now, what are you?
I'm God.
Oh, you're coming along just fine. I am magnificent. What are you?
I'm magnificent.
I am the creator of my world. What are you?
I am the creator of my world.
You are the revealer of your world. Remember that word?
Yeah.
It's a new word for us. It's a new word. But everything already exists. You cannot create it. Everything already exists. You can only reveal it. Not that it's right or wrong, but you can only reveal it. Now, this is higher theology, you might say, or higher philosophy. And as higher metaphysical philosophy, it shakes a few boats. But once you accept what it means, it's not bad. So, what were you now?
I'm the creator of my world.
See how you get accustomed to these old habits and ways of saying things?
I'm the revealer of my world.
What does it mean to reveal your world, Sylvia?
Bring into my world what already exists by my choice.
Like a broken leg?
No, not that's not my choice.
What's your choice?
My choice is wholeness and perfection.
What's your choice?
Wholeness and perfection.
What's your choice?
Same, wholeness and perfection.
Never say the same. Because you may not be meaning it quite the way they do, or they may not be meaning it quite the way you do. Now, Inga, what do you bring forth?
The allness.
All right, you bring forth the allness. Now, what do you mean by the allness?
Everything that there is. Everything
well, that sounds be. Just a wee bit non-relative.
Everything I can think of or imagine.
Yeah, that's okay. But I'm just saying. Now, when we say something like that, we are saying the allness, which means you're bringing forth nothing. Because you cannot conceive of the allness. You cannot conceive of the isness. You can't conceive of these things. Not that they don't exist. But you can't conceive of it. And once you conceive it, you will not be unique. You will not be Inga. You will not be Inga. You will be everybody and everything and all. You'll have no uniqueness about you. You'll have no individuality, which is what you really have. But if you're going to say allness and if you're going to say isness, then You're saying absolute, and you're moving yourself out of the relative. And from my observation, with your appetite, I think you enjoy being in the relative. And from my observation, Sylvia, from not only your appetite, but from your great love to cook, I think you enjoy the relative.
Yeah, I do.
You are. And Dodie, from my observation of your manifold understanding of certain valuable foods and stuff like that, you too thoroughly enjoy the relative world. If you enjoyed absolute, you would have no interest in food, you'd have no interest in air, you'd have no interest in water, you'd have no interest in anything which is relative. And of course, we do have an interest in things relative. Now, we can make that change from relative to absolute, but nobody wants to do it. Nobody wants to do it. I have worked with, I don't say nobody, here today with us, nobody wants to do it. Primarily because we're so entrenched and so thrilled with the relative world. We just are having a great time. We like to smile. We like to laugh. We like to sing. We like to dance. We like to bitch. We like to complain. We like to enjoy life because that's all part of being human. Now, when you go to a monastery that's dedicated to the purity of the soul, would you ever hear anyone complain about anything? If you were in a monastery that was dedicated to speaking the highest and best at all times, would you ever hear anyone speaking a sad word about themselves or anybody else?
No.
It couldn't be. It just couldn't be. So when we're ready to create that kind of monastery here, you let me know. Because when you do that, that means there's going to be no more other show. There'll be no more otherness. There's only living in that quality. And then, you know what's going to happen to you? Well, I'll tell you a few things. What's going to happen is your taste buds are going to dry up. You're going to have no desire to eat anything. And your water buds are going to dry up. You're going to have no desire to drink anything because your body is complete in itself. Your ears are going to be so filled with celestial sound, you'll have no desire for human sound. How about that? And your mouth will be so filled with praise and adoration and revelation of who you are and the divine in you, that there'll be no place for anything unlike that. Can you believe that?
Yes.
It's not too difficult. But it is just a matter of our first word of their one-pointedness, keeping our thought centered on that which we believe is important and right for us. Now, if you don't believe that you don't have to eat or you don't have to drink or you don't have to breathe and do these different things, if you don't believe that, then don't bother playing the game. Don't bother winning the game, you know. But if you believe that, everything will work perfectly and harmoniously for you to achieve that. It's not a matter of believing it. You achieve it because you no longer want to eat. You no longer want to drink. You no longer want to breathe. You no longer want to say anything. Because you are just a bubble of purity and goodness. People look at you and they're filled because you are the vibration of fulfillment. You are the vibration of allness. You are the vibration of purity and goodness. My goodness sakes, this is a little different direction than we planned, isn't it? But it's wonderful, isn't it? Why I love me? I love me because I can see that. I know that. You might say, like we all have, I've been there, done that. And it's a lot of fun. That's why I love me. Because the real me is a me that has no limitation. There will be people coming and trying to disparage the real me, but they can't do it because it stands sacrosanct. And the same with you. Don't think you're getting off scot-free. People are going to come and try to dissuade you from the path you're walking and try to tell you that they're more beautiful than you are. And they try to flash their wealth in front. See, I got money and I can go and have a house and I can go and have a car. I can go and play whenever I want. I can do this and I can do that. If that's what pleases you, it's okay. Nothing wrong with it. But if that's what pleases you, if you have to have a human life filled with these outer accoutrements, which is just wonderful, then go for it. But don't say you want to walk your spiritual path. Because if you want to walk your spiritual path, there's only one conclusion that you can arrive at. And that is to be spiritual, to be absolute. It may take a while. Jesus' disciples didn't make it. They're made into saints by the church, but not by themselves. Paul never made being a saint. Paul never made, well, never reached his spiritual magnificence because he was an intellectual. And as long as you're intellectual about this, as long as you hold on to these things instead of just reaching out and letting them happen for yourself, being your divine self, you're going to be hung up the moment you are touched by anybody, the moment you are possessed by anything. My car, my house, you know, my hurt. And the moment you judge anything, it's a silly thing, very silly. And when I stand in front of you, as we have our private consultations occasionally, as I stand in front of you and say, look, you're doing it to yourself, and then you turn to me and say, but it's not easy. And I say, yes, true, it's not easy, because you're still hung up on being human. And hey, that's okay. That's not bad. But here, you're going to be confronted with your spiritual path, with your spiritual direction, with your omniscience, omnipotence, and omnipresent. You're going to be confronted by all of these things. And in them is no room for otherness. Only the one. And you are that one. And that's why I love me. That's why you love me. Now, love yourself for this very same reason. And enjoy yourself. Because life is wonderful. And I love you. Mm-hmm.